This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you once again for joining us in this journey of creating a just society right where we are. With what we have to work with, I hope you're having a good summer. As summer gets underway, I hope you're able to enjoy some of the festivities maybe around where you live, or just enjoying time with family and friends, getting out and refreshing the spirit with sunshine. Today, we're going to begin a series. It's going to have to be a little bit of a lengthy series because of how lengthy the document is that we're going to be studying. But today, I will be starting a series on the Apostolic Constitution, Ex Sole Familia Nazarethan, by Pope Pius XII, who lived during the Nazi reign. So there's good books, the popes and the Holocaust, Pope Pius I and rather the 11th and 12th, both having to deal with the reign of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, and a lot of the messiness that comes around that, a lot of the misunderstandings of how the Pope handled that. But I mean, it's going to be messy. There's no blueprint for how to handle the Nazis when you haven't seen that before. So good book, The Pope and the Holocaust. I've read it. It's in my personal library. But the same Pope Pius XII writes this Apostolic Constitution in the 1950s after things settled down from World War II, because after World War II, then you've got all these immigrants and refugees and this mass shifting of populations around Europe. And so the Pope writes this document, this Apostolic Constitution, on the Church's stand and instruction to us how to relate to immigrants and refugees and people who are migrating, especially across continents. National collapse is a phrase that stands out to me as I begin unfolding this Apostolic Constitution, unfolding the history around it. National collapse. That's what Europe saw a lot of after World War II. And when nations collapse, their economy, their politics, just daily life collapses all around them, then people tend to move. They have to get somewhere where it's safe and where they can take care of their families. And so, again, through national collapse, you see people migrating to a lot of places, especially migrating to the United States. And in the midst of these national collapses, you see a historic displacement, probably, I would say, probably the greatest displacement of peoples in history. Yet many so-called Christians are opposing immigrants and refugees and hardening their hearts against them. Even now, we have a mass migration and a mass displacement of peoples across the world, a lot of them coming to the United States, to England, France, and places like that for safety and refuge. And but it's from national collapse. You know, a lot of Venezuelans moving. Why? National collapse. Ukrainians, why? Because of war. Haiti, because of war, national collapse, and overrun by gangs. Lots of places in the world, Sudan, Gaza, you name it. People doing a mass migration for safety and to take care of their families. And yet, as I said, so many Christians are opposing immigrants and refugees and hardening their hearts against them. So now is the perfect time to do this study of this Apostolic Constitution. Now, the Pope is going to point out to us, Pope Pius XII, that this is a grave sin. Not just a sin, but a grave sin, serious, to harden your hearts against immigrants and refugees. Please wake up. I'm going to say that right off the bat. Not going to be friendly right at the moment. We'll get friendly later. But please wake up. Don't get caught up in the hype, all the hype of the present times. Rather, be faithful to the love of the least of these dear brothers and sisters who are suffering so much. Now, it is easy to get caught up in the hype. You know, you watch enough of the news. Doesn't matter whether it's the liberal or the conservative news media. We're inundated by 24-hour news cycles. I kind of wish we weren't. I mean, I'm old enough now to remember the days when news was just a half hour in the evening. And you had to read in the newspaper, had to subscribe and actually read a physical newspaper, which I still do to this day. I prefer paper and ink over staring at a screen all the time. I do that enough during the day. But there was a time when your access to the news was very limited. No internet, none of that. But now, because of the 24-hour news cycle, and I don't have cable TV myself, but streaming or watching at a friend's house, I see these news cycles, and each show is a repeat of the previous show. They're all saying the same thing, just in different ways. So basically what they're doing is programming you to think a certain way, because they're repeating the message incessantly until it's ingrained in you and you're programmed to think a certain way. So a good project to do is to wean yourself off the 24-hour news cycle and actually get outside and to exercise and to do productive things rather than stare at the television all day. But we have these news cycles, and because of that, it's easy to get caught up in the hype of all these issues surrounding immigration. But what the Pope Pius XII is calling us to is to be faithful to love the least of these dear brothers and sisters, again, who are suffering so much. Pope Leo the 14th now is encouraging us to the same thing. Again, this is going to be a lengthy and in-depth study, so hang on, but it's going to be good. Lots of good things. The Pope did a fabulous job of putting this document together. Now, again, this is an apostolic constitution of Pope Pius XII. An apostolic constitution is a most serious form of communication. You hear of encyclicals, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Encyclicals are probably the most popular form of communication. They tend to come out in book forms, whereas apostolic constitutions tend not to. You can get a hold of them in book form, but I have to pull them off of the Vatican's website to get a hold of it. But and by the way, if you want to read the documents of the popes, you can go on the Vatican's website, click on the picture of the pope you're wanting to read their writings of, and then their writings are there because each pope has their own website. I don't think Peter has his own website, but you can read the Bible to read Peter's writings. But an apostolic constitution is a most serious form of communication from a pope and should be carefully listened to. Now, this particular one, Ex Sol Familia Nazarethan, the exaltation of the Holy Family of Nazareth, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, who, by the way, were refugees. So the pope is putting them in front of our eyes to look at as an example. Jesus relates very much to immigrants and refugees, because Jesus himself was a refugee to Egypt, had to flee Israel because of the violent and dangerous actions of King Herod. Now, this particular apostolic constitution was released August the 1st, 1952, so 7 years after the end of World War II. Now, what is an apostolic constitution versus an encyclical, a papal encyclical. You'll have encyclicals. Pope Francis wrote several. So did Pope John Paul II. Pope Benedict XVI wrote encyclicals. And so did others. We've studied Rerum Novarum. Pope Leo XIII wrote that one. And again, that's an encyclical we studied. An encyclical is a broader letter to the entire church on light matters, lighter matters. So it's lighter in its nature. It's more universal in its nature, whereas an apostolic constitution gives very specific instruction and demands on specific matters. So in this apostolic constitution, we're studying immigration and the displacement of peoples. And the reason why it's such a serious matter, because the Pope is giving us, the faithful, very careful instructions that we are expected to follow. And in this matter, when it comes to immigration, this is a definitive teaching of the church on migration, and it's very practical to our day. The general flow, before we get into this, the general flow of this document is, number one, we're going to look at the Holy Family as a model of migration. Number two, we're going to get a history lesson, an extensive history lesson, of how the church has never had a time of not caring for migrants. So the Pope is going to show us the church is always taking care of migrants. By the way, for those who think that Christians are stupid, they have not read this document, because when we get into the history lesson in the next episode, we'll start that. I'm going to tell you, this Pope is brilliant. And then the third point of this document is principles that we're required to follow. So we're going to look at the Holy Family, get a history lesson of how the church has always taken care of migrants. So you might learn some new things that's happened in history. And third, we're going to, again, receive instructions from the Pope that we are to follow. So let's get into the introduction of this apostolic constitution. And forgive me for the gap here, as I failed to pull up the document itself. So there we go. I've got the document itself here. An introduction to begin with. It talks about the Holy Family of Nazareth fleeing to Egypt is the archetype of every refugee family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, living in exile in Egypt to escape the fury and evil king, are for all times and all places the models and protectors of every migrant, alien, and refugee of whatever kind who, whether compelled by fear of persecution or by want, is forced to leave his native land, his beloved parents and relatives, his close friends, and to seek a foreign soil. Just with this first two sentences of this first short paragraph, the Pope lays out the groundwork right there in front of it by saying that the church, or rather that the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, are the models of the church, and that they are the protectors of people of any kind who are migrating for whatever fears they're migrating for. Now, let's think about that for a second. If the Holy Family, Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, are for all time the protectors of immigrants, aliens, refugees of any kind, if they're the ones, if their job and their desire is to protect those migrants, then when we fail to protect them, and when we oppose them, and when we send them away, then we are opposing the Holy Family. Whatever we do to current migrants in our home countries is what we would be willing to do to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And you may fool yourself and say, oh no, I wouldn't do that to them. But if you're willing to do it to a fellow human, in front of you, you're willing to do it to them because, yes, Jesus is God. Mary is, you know, the Holy Mother, the Blessed Virgin, and Saint Joseph, holiest man to live. But they're still our fellow humans. And when you first met them, you probably would not have recognized them in their roles that we know them of now. You would just seen them as other humans. So if you are willing to do it now to hate on and rid your land of these migrants, then you would very much have been willing to hate on and rid the land of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And you let that be sobering. Let that humble you. That this issue of migration, in whatever form it takes, whether it's immigrants who voluntarily leave their homelands out of fear of persecution or famine or war, or refugees who are forced out of their land, or asylum seekers, whatever form they take. This is a serious matter, and that's why we're covering this document, because we are commanded to love them and to receive them. As Matthew 25 says in the instruction from Jesus on what the last judgment is going to look like, he says, "You welcomed me into your home," and the sheep will say, "When did we ever welcome you in your home?" And he says, "Whenever you welcome strangers in your home, you are welcoming me." So let that be a sobering thought for you as we study this series. Now, I want to read paragraph 3 to you in this introduction to the Constitution. "In order that this example and these consoling thoughts would not grow dim, but rather offer refugees and migrants a comfort in their trials and foster Christian hope, the Church had to look after them with special care and unremitting aid. She sought to preserve intact in them the faith of their fathers and a way of life that conformed to the moral law. She had to contend strenuously with numerous difficulties, previously unknown and unforeseeable, which were encountered abroad. Above all, it was necessary to combat the evil work of those perverse men who, alas, associated with migrants under the pretext of bringing material aid, but with the intent of damaging their souls. How serious and grave would be the reasons for anxiety and anguish had the Church's spiritual care been lacking in the past or the present. The Pope makes it very clear that these brothers and sisters who are crossing the borders, they're wounded, they're tired, they are filled with anxiety, and the Pope says the Church must be vigilant in helping them in their trials and present sufferings. In USA Today, on May 22nd this year, 2025, there was an article that, and in this article I was reading, they discussed how many pastors and priests in the United States of America face deportation due to the federal government changing the meaning of the term immigrant. So these people who were, these priests and pastors in America who were legal, here legally, are now here illegally, because the federal government simply changed the definition of immigrant. And now they're facing immigration being taken from their flocks. And by the way, the U.S. Catholic bishops issued a statement about this and said that the Church is on a collision course with the U.S. federal government because of this, because the Church is going to stand with the immigrants. The Pope here, in this apostolic constitution and in the introduction to it, speaks about how grave of a condition this can leave people in and society in, dealing with these matters, and it can leave us in a terrible situation if we fail to stand for these immigrants. Now, to go on further into the introduction here, the Pope laments. He talks about Saint Augustine, who was the Bishop of Hippo in North Africa. They faced war, and because of that, priests were leaving the region, and Saint Augustine wrote and said, what a terrible thing it is when priests leave, because then the people have no one to hear their confessions, to celebrate the Mass, and to dispense the sacraments, leaving people's souls in danger. If that was true in St. Augustine's day in the 5th century, is now true in our day. If the federal government is changing the meaning of immigrant and now causing priests to be, quote, illegal immigrants facing deportation, then as the U.S. Catholic bishops issued in their statement said, it is it puts the faithful in danger for losing their shepherd and their pastors. Now, to quote St. Augustine, St. Augustine wrote, when the priests are absent, what ruin for those who must leave this world either unbaptized or still chained by sin. What sadness for their friends who will not have them as companions in the repose of eternal life. What grief for all, and what blasphemy by some due to the absence of the priest and his ministry. One can readily understand what the dread of passing evils can do and what great eternal evil follows. On the other hand, when the priests are at their posts, they help everyone with all the strength the Lord has given them. Some are baptized. Others make their peace with God. None is deprived of receiving the body of Christ in communion. All are consoled, edified, and urged to pray to God, who can wand off all dangers. By the way, if you want to know what the early church thought, there's a quote from the early church. They thought very Catholic in their thinking. Of course, we know in this, with the federal government changing the definition of immigrant, causing formerly legal immigrants, I use that term loosely because I don't see humans as legal or illegal, but leaving illegal immigrants now facing deportation. And of course, we know when this something like this happens that would cause priests to be deported, none other than Satan himself is behind this. Satan would love to get rid of all the priests and put people's souls in danger for not being able to have access to the sacraments, especially baptism and the Eucharist. So that's our start to this apostolic constitution. That's the beginning. I wanted to set a serious tone because this is a serious matter. It's getting old at this point to hear so many people hating on the immigrants and refugees. And they keep quoting the criminals. They keep talking about, well, we've got criminals, we've got gangs, we've got drug cartel, we've got rapists who came here illegally. Well, I hate to break your heart, but we've got people who are fifth and sixth generation Americans born and raised here. And they're rapists and murderers and gang members and stuff. So we just going to get rid of everybody? No, you deal with the criminal in an appropriate way, but you don't do sweeping deportations just because of some bad apples. You don't put people's lives in danger. And I'm telling you know, the federal government recently removed protections for Venezuelans. If these people, and I know some Venezuelans, if they get sent back there, it's certain death for them. And we don't want to stand before God on Judgment Day because we cheered on the possibility of people being deported and we rejoiced because our brothers and sisters were deported to places of certain death. That will not be a good Judgment Day for us. So, I know that this is a heavy start on this matter, but as you can see, this church stands firmly with immigrants and refugees. The Pope will show how that in history, this has never changed. The church began as a pilgrim people in the Holy Family of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, and continues today as wanderers on the earth. In fact, the Bible, the New Testament, says that we as Christians are, as the people of God, are pilgrims. We are aliens on this earth. We are not citizens here, but our citizenship is in heaven. So it is our duty to stand with the immigrants and refugees. It is our duty to stand with them and defend their rights. May we be faithful to do so as we seek to create a just society for everyone right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.